Could I ask you to turn in God's word this morning to Jeremiah chapter 33. Jeremiah chapter 33, this is where we want to take our thoughts from. Let me pray the Lord will bless us even as we read the word and then come to meditate upon it in just a few moments. Jeremiah chapter 33, commencing to read at verse number 1. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time, while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. For thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the houses of this city, and concerning the houses of the kings of Judah, which are thrown down by the mounts and by the sword. They come to fight with Chaldeans, but it is to fill them with the dead bodies of men, whom I have slain in mine anger and in my fury, and for all whose wickedness I have hid my face from the city. Behold, I will bring it health and cure, and I will cure them, and will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. And I will cause the captivity of Judah and the captivity of Israel to return, and will build them as at the first. And I will cleanse them from all their iniquity, whereby they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquities, whereby they have sinned, and whereby they have transgressed against me. And it shall be to me a name of joy, a praise and an honor before all the nations of the earth, which shall hear all the good that I do unto them. And they shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and for all the prosperity that I procure unto it. Thus saith the Lord, again, there shall be heard in this place, which ye say shall be desolate without man and without beast, even in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem that are desolate without man and without inhabitant and without beast, the voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the voice of them that shall say, Praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And of them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord, for I will cause to return to the captivity of the land as at the first, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, again in this place which is desolate without man and without beast, and in all the cities thereof shall be an habitation of shepherds, causing their flocks to lie down. In the cities of the mountains, in the cities of the vale, and in the cities of the south, and in the land of Benjamin, and in the places about Jerusalem, and in the cities of Judah, and shall the flocks pass again under the hand of him that telleth them, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised unto the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days, and at that time, will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up on David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is the name wherewith she shall be called, the Lord, our righteousness. Amen. Let's just commit ourselves to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy word, we thank thee for thy truth. Lord, this is the living word of the living God. We pray, Lord, that by thy voice I will speak today, make thy people hear. We pray, Lord, today as we study thy word, Lord, our hearts will be revived, refreshed, built up, edified. We ask you, Lord, you'll speak so clearly to each individual today. May the word come as a nail in a sure place, a word from God. We ask you, Lord, you'll hide man behind the cross. I ask you, Lord, you'll empty me of self and sin. Fill me with thy spirit and give me the help to deliver the word of God to the glory of thy name. Lord, we need thee today. Come and bless us, we ask. Speak, Lord, we pray. For it's in Jesus' name we ask all of these things for God's glory. Amen. Amen. The verse I want to leave with you this morning as we draw our service to a close is verse number 3 of Jeremiah 33. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. What are the great and mighty things that is being spoken of here? The promise to be grasped and asked for. Well, in Jeremiah's day, this is a miraculous prophecy that God would one day return Israel, the people of Israel, to Jerusalem in great glory. At this time in history, they have been overtaken by the most powerful nation, the nation of Babylon. At this time in history, they were under the threat of the most powerful king, Nebuchadnezzar, on the earth at that time. And therefore, they were in a state of weakness, a state of despair. The cities were ransacked. The people were out of the cities. And as a result, the Lord says, you need to pray, and I will answer, and I will do a great and a mighty thing. Something you can't do for yourself. Something that will never happen unless I step in. And the Lord says, call, pray, ask, and I will do those mighty things. So how is this verse applicable for us today? As we sit here in 2018, start of a new year, as we sit in God's house here in Northern Ireland, how does this verse, Jeremiah 33, verse number 3, apply to us today? Well, I believe the great and mighty things that are spoken of here are a promise, are our promises that we can claim. The great and mighty things are the blessings that God wants to give us as we yield ourselves to Him. As we surrender our lives to Him, our Heavenly Father knows what's best for us. The greatest blessings are given to those who come to God and ask for them. And we know throughout history, great men and women have been used by the Lord, and they have been mightily blessed by God, but not one of them was blessed outside of asking God for the blessing. Not one of them knew answers to prayer without them asking God for answers to prayer. And the description given here is great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And sometimes we don't even know what to pray for. But we can pray for God's best in our life. We can pray for God's blessing in our lives. And you know what? Those great and mighty things are priceless. They're awesome. They're indescribable blessings of living a life that is dedicated to God. Very simply this morning, I want us to see how we can get these things in our lives, these great and mighty blessings, the power of God, the presence of God, the outpouring of the Spirit of God in our lives. Well, very simply, the very first word here starts with a request. We have to ask for them. Look what it says, call. That word call, it means to ask. God does not force Himself on us. He has wonderful blessings for us. And He asks us to ask Him. He waits for us to ask. In Scripture, the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 7, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. It says also in Scripture, ye have not because ye ask not. And there are some of God's people today, and they're miserable in their walk with God. They're lacking so much power, so much assurance. They're lacking answers to prayer. And they are just in a state of existing and drifting from meeting to meeting, but no joy and no real excitement about the Christian life. Folks, that is not Spirit-filled Christianity. That is not Christianity that the Lord desires to bless us with. And the reason they're in such a state is they do not talk to God. Now, I understand that there will be a great battle when we come to speak to God. The devil knows that we're most powerful when we're on our knees. The devil knows that we have the victory when we're speaking to the one who is victorious over all things. And therefore, he will do everything to cause us to cease from praying. Maybe lie in a little bit longer in the morning. You don't have time to pray. Maybe you're too busy. You have to leave kids to school. You have to do your work. You have to go home. You have to go to church. No time to pray. Maybe you think, I haven't time just to spend in the presence of God because my family need me. And the reality being, of course, that you need to be in the presence of God for your family. Someone asked Andrew Murray, the great preacher, about a problem she had. And she said, you know, sometimes I feel I can't pray. I just can't. whether it's lack of desire, whether it's lack of motivation, maybe it's a lack of faith. And Andrew Murray said to her, well, then you try this. As you go to your bedroom, however cold and dark your heart might be, do not try by your own might to force yourself into the right attitude, but bow before him and tell the Lord he sees what a state your heart is in and that your only hope is him. Trust him with a childlike trust to have mercy upon you and wait upon him. And in such a trust, you're in a right relationship to him. Remember, you have nothing. He has everything. And the woman later told Murray that his advice had helped her. She discovered that her trust in Christ's love for her could help her pray, even when prayer did not come easily. Do you not feel like praying today? Well, then get down on your knees and tell the Lord, Lord, I don't feel like praying. Have mercy upon my heart. Give me a desire to pray. And that's a prayer the Lord will answer. Sometimes we don't feel like praying. But sometimes we feel we don't have time to pray. George Mueller ran the orphanages of Bristol. He saw thousands of people won for Christ, thousands of children homed and be given a good start in life. And he wrote these words, for more than half a century, I have never known one day when I did not have more business than I could get through. For 40 years, I've annually written about 30,000 letters. Most of these have passed through my own hands. I have 9 assistants always at work corresponding in German, French, English, Danish, Italian, Russian, and other languages. I pastor a church of 1,200 believers. Great has been my care. I have had charge of 5 orphanages, also my publishing depot, the printing and circulation of millions of tracts, books, and Bibles. But I have always made it a rule never to begin work until I had a good season of time with God in prayer. You see, sometimes we feel we can't pray. Talk to God. Sometimes we feel we don't have time to pray. We need to talk to God. Then there's another hindrance. Sometimes we feel we should pray long prayers. And I know sometimes people think, well, I couldn't pray public in a prayer meeting because I can't pray for a long time. Or I'm not doing it right if I'm not praying for hours and hours and hours. C.H. Spurgeon said, there is no need for us to go beating about the bush, not telling the Lord distinctly what it is we crave out of his hands. Nor will it be seemly to make some grand use of fine language. Just let's ask God in the simplest and most direct manner for the things that we want. I believe in business prayers, telling God exactly how we need him to work, taking one of the many promises and bringing it to God as we bring a check to a banker and expect it to be cashed. We would not think of going to the bank and lolling over the counter, chattering with the bank clerk about every conceivable subject except the one thing we're there for. And so too, we need to go to the Lord and tell him what we need at the bank of heaven. So the first thing we need to do is call or ask the Lord for the blessing. And I'm going to ask a question. You might think this is strange, asking Christians meeting together to worship God, but I will ask you sincerely, when was the last time you got on your knees and you asked the Lord to bless you? Christian, if it wasn't today, then you make a point this day of getting on your knees and asking for the blessing of God. We cannot be blessed without God. We cannot know the blessing and the joy and the closeness of God's presence if we do not ask for it. But the second thing is, not only do we call, but look what it says in this verse, call unto me. Call unto me. And we're not calling out in the darkness hoping that somebody will hear. We're talking to the Lord, the one who's able. Look at verse 2. Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it. It's speaking about the creative power of God. We are talking to the one who said, let there be light, and light came. We're talking to one who lifted the dust of the ground and with his power made mankind. We're talking to the one who placed the stars in the sky in the place he wanted them to be, and he knows their name. Our prayers are directly to the Lord. And you know, the Lord Jesus gave us a model for prayer whenever he taught his disciples how to pray. Our Father. We're talking to God. We're talking to the Heavenly Father, the Jehovah, the great I Am. What way is the Lord described in Scripture? He's described as Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who supplies all my need. Have you a need this morning? Go to the Lord in prayer. Jehovah Rawi, and you can excuse my pronunciation of some of these names, but my caring shepherd, Jehovah Shalom, the God of my peace. Is your heart in turmoil today? Have you no peace? Have you no contentment? Can you not have rest within your soul? God can give you peace. Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals me. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner. Jehovah Makadeshkim, the Lord who sanctifies me. Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord who is with me. Jehovah Elyon, the Lord Most High. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who is there for me. Jehovah Zakenu, the Lord my righteousness, the creator of life, the sustainer of life. The triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. When God's children call, God bows down his ear and hears our prayer. We can be confident when we come the right way, we will be heard. What's the right way to come to God? Well, I believe we must come in sincerity. We must sincerely come to God, believing that he is the one who can do exceeding abundantly above all we could ask or think. We also must come in the Savior's name. We often end our prayers and we say, in Jesus' name we pray these things. Now that's not just some little thing that we say, some ritual we put at the end of the prayer because we're Christians and we do that. No, we do this because we're taught to pray through Christ. He is our intercessor. He is our mediator. He's our great high priest. And we pray to him and he presents our prayers unto the Lord. And therefore we pray through Christ. We pray because it's through his work that we're accepted. It's because of his righteousness that we are looked upon as the children of God. And therefore, we come in his name knowing that God will hear and answer. We come in sincerity. We come in the Savior's name. But folks, I believe that we will be heard when we come with a surrendered heart. We need to come in surrender to God. You see, sometimes we will pray things and God's answer to our prayer will be no. Sometimes we'll pray things and God's answer to our prayer will be wait. Sometimes we'll pray and God's answer to our prayer will be yes. And we have to say, Lord, thy will be done. Prayer is not us going to change the plans of God. Prayer is us going to God that he might bring us into his plans and change our heart to accept the good and the perfect will of God in our lives. Not maybe always what we would choose, not always easy, but God's way and God's best. And therefore we need to come to pray to the Lord, surrendering, Lord, thy will be done. Lord, if I prayed for something today that isn't going to be a benefit to me or bring glory to thee, Lord, say no. We need to surrender. Lord, may thy will be done. And friend, we do need to wait on the Lord. And if we look at this verse again, not only do you have to call, not only do we see the one we have to call, but look what it says. There's another little word there. Call unto me and. And I believe that indicates that we need to expect to hear from the Lord. When you say your prayer, that's not the end. The word and is here indicating that something else happens. We are to ask the one who can deliver in full faith that he will answer our prayer. Song says, answer's on the way. This I know. Jesus said it. I believe it. It is so. Our Heavenly Father knows our need before we pray, and we can rest assured the answer's on the way. The book of James instructs us to ask in faith, nothing wavering. God wants us to exercise and demonstrate faith in him, not just to talk about it. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek thee. You see, we are to take God at his word, and we're to act in faith upon what he tells us to do. And he says, call unto me, and I will answer thee. Look for the answer. Expect it to happen. Expect it to happen. Are you exercising? Are you demonstrating faith in God? What step of faith have you taken for the Lord recently? You know, whenever you come to pray, you ought to be praying, believing God will answer. I believe God answers prayer. The missionary Hudson Taylor had complete trust in the faithfulness of God. In his journal one time, he wrote, "Our Heavenly Father is a very experienced one. He knows well that we wake up with a good appetite every morning. He sustained 3 million Israelites in the wilderness for 40 years. Now, we do not expect that he will send 3 million missionaries to China, but if he did, he would have ample means to sustain them all. Depend on it. God's work, done in God's way, will never lack God's supply." And I tell you, see, whenever you're deciding whether or not to do something for the Lord, and God puts a call in your life, or God tells you to go to a certain place, you have to exercise faith. You may not always have the finances at that time. You may not always know what the end result is going to be at that time. You may not have full confidence that you will be able to do what God has called you to do, but you must have faith that the God who has called you will supply all of your need. And we need to expect to see the work of the Lord. Look what it says, "I will." God promises today that he will do something in response to our prayers. We know that God is at work on our behalf, so we can live in the light of that precious truth. Don't think God has forsaken you. Don't think things are out of the control of the hands of God, but rather rest upon that. Know that God is working. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. I was giving my testimony in youth fellowship last night in Muckerfelt, and I was reminded of something about God's will in my life, because I had applied to go into the Whitfield College of the Bible in 2006. And I applied, I think, around May, maybe April, May time, and didn't hear anything through May or June or July. And then August came, and I hadn't heard anything. And college was starting in September. And one of the elders came and said, "Did you ever hear anything from the Whitfield?" And of course, I didn't know what the time frame was or when they held interviews or anything. And I said no, and he rang up. And it turned out that they had lost my letter of application, which is hilarious because there were only 3 that year. But they lost it somewhere in the midst of all that paperwork. And I thought, oh, what am I going to do? And they said, "Well, we can give you an interview and you can start in about 3 weeks' time." And I was like, no, that's too much. And I felt under a lot of pressure. I thought, you know what, this is too rushed. I wanted to have time to pray about it. I wanted to have time to prepare for it, to get my head around it. And I just thought, you know, this isn't the right time. So within a few days, actually, a school had phoned up and offered me a job for 1 year, which is exactly what I needed. The Lord supplied that need. I was able to save up a bit of money. I was able to prepare myself for Bible college, and I went there in 2007. Now, I don't know exactly why that was the case, but I do know this. It was God's will that I would be there in 2007. I know that whenever I finished in 2011, a position came available for me in Muckerfelt. Had it been a year earlier, it wouldn't have been available. Had it a year later, we don't know what would have happened. But you know what? God had worked it out in his purpose and his timing. Sometimes when the door closes, sometimes whenever the Lord says, wait for an hour or a week or a month or a year or longer, it's always the best time and it's always the good time. Confidence in God's ability is confidence in God's timing. And we need to let God set the timetable in our lives. Now, when I was saved, I was saved at the age of 7. My parents weren't saved and they didn't attend church. And I start praying every night as a little child, "Lord, save my mom, save my dad. Save my mom, save my dad." I pray that every night before I went to bed, just a simple prayer like that. "Lord, save my mom, save my dad." And you know, I prayed and prayed and prayed. And I have to say, as I grew up and grew into my teens, I started to think, Is it going to happen? Are they going to be saved at all? I started to doubt, and for a little while I stopped praying. Then I kept praying. I came back and I asked, Lord, please save my parents. Please save my parents. And without any outward indication, the Lord actually did save my mom and my dad in the same week, just 1 week before I left home to go to college to train to be a teacher. But you know how many years it was from the time I got saved and started praying until the Lord answered that prayer? It was 11 years. 11 years. But you know what? It was God's perfect timing. I thank the Lord for that. That changed our home. And I praise the Lord for saving my parents. But you know what? While I doubted, God was still working. And will you keep on praying? Maybe you have a brother or a sister. Maybe you have mum or a dad. Maybe you have a son or a daughter, grandchild. And they're not saved. And they're so hard. And you invite them to church and they say no. And you played it with them and they're not interested. Maybe you bought them a Bible for Christmas. Maybe you give them a gospel tract and you know it hasn't been touched. You pray on. Because in God's timing, he will do his work in his way. You see, God doesn't promise just to do something. God promises to do great and mighty things. Isn't that wonderful? God will do his best for us and give us his best. Be confident of this very thing, the Lord Paul says, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Be confident. Look for the answers. Work for the answers. Thank God for the answers before you see the results. Lord, I thank you that you're going to answer this prayer. I thank you for what you are going to do. Lord, I don't know what it's going to be, but I thank you already. I know God's working, and it will be revealed unto me. Then there's something else we have to do. We have to set limits aside, because it says there, I will answer thee and show thee. Now, what I mean by setting limits aside? I mean this. You see, this verse, call and may I answer thee and show thee great and mighty things. These great and mighty things aren't just for ministers or Bible college students, or not just for missionaries, not just for the outgoing person, not just for the most talented person. Don't limit God. This is a personal promise for you. God will show thee. This morning, Christian, God will show you great and mighty things. God will do great and mighty things in your life. You might be a quiet person. You might be a shy, retiring person. God has great and mighty things to do in your life and show you. He wants you to experience the amazing works of grace and glory that he knows are best for you. God has a wonderful, thrilling plan for your life, a purpose for your life. And there are blessings and provisions that God has with your name alone on them. There's a blessing just for you. And sometimes we don't ask God for the blessing in our lives. We miss out. You know, God knows what's best for us. There's a lovely verse in Scripture, Psalm 46:10, says, be still and know that I am God. And I always thought that that verse just simply meant, right, well, you just sit quietly and know God's in control and don't worry about it. Now, in a way it does. That be still, it means to cease from agonizing. It means to cease from being uptight. It means really to relax, chill out. That's what it means literally in the original. Be still, chill out, stop worrying. And know that I am God. But you see the word know. That word means to demonstrate that he is God. Live your life showing you believe God's in control. That's what that verse means. Stop worrying and live a life that evidences you trust in God. Be still and know that I am God. Child of God, this is a promise that we can claim today. Lord, I'm resting in the fact that you're all wise. You will do no wrong. You'll do nothing to harm me. But Lord, your blessing will be great and mighty upon my life. You see, it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now, we will make decisions in our lives, and some of those decisions will have very pleasant, happy consequences. We need to pray that the Lord will give us wisdom to make decisions. But we will sometimes make decisions in our lives, and you know what? We'll have to pay for those decisions because they were the wrong decision. But you see, whenever we come to the Lord, we can know this, that God will always give us his best. Doesn't always mean the easiest way. Doesn't always mean that we'll have a life that's pain-free or heartache-free. Doesn't always mean that we'll have perfect health or that we'll always have great finances. Doesn't mean those things at all. The prosperity of Scripture is spiritual prosperity. Speaking about the blessings of God that maketh rich spiritually and add no sorrow to them. And my final thought is this. And this is something we need to remember. God wants what's best for you. You might say, well, why are you telling Christians that? We know that. But you know what? This world puts the Christianity down so much. It speaks so much against God. The devil puts so many temptations and doubts into their heart and mind. And you know what, Christians, and maybe somebody sitting in this meeting today thinks, well, if I say to the Lord, here's my life, do with it what you will, I'd be miserable. I'd end up somewhere I don't like, doing something I don't like, with someone I don't really like, if I go through with God. Folks, God, that's not the Lord of Scripture. The Lord will give you great and mighty things. He put you in a place that you love, doing things that you love with people that you love. You know why? Because he does what's best for us. He's ready. He's willing. He's able to display these things in our lives. And we can live confidently and victoriously as God gives us those great, mighty blessings. You see, the disciples never said, Lord, teach us to sing. Even though the Scripture does tell us, all people that on earth do dwell sing to the Lord with cheerful voice. The disciples never asked, Lord, teach us to preach. Even though it's through the foolishness of preaching that men are saved, and he sent them out as preachers. The disciples never asked, Lord, teach us to be soul winners, even though he told them to go into all the world and preach the gospel. But I'll tell you what the disciples did ask. Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. Why? Because that was the most difficult thing. That was the thing they struggled with. Oh, they could sing, they could preach truth, they could go after souls, but praying, sitting down and praying was a difficult thing. It's easy to come out to a meeting and take part. It takes discipline to sit down before you come out and pray. And interestingly, the Bible doesn't say preach without ceasing, or sing without ceasing, study without ceasing, win souls without ceasing, but it does say, pray without ceasing. One of the Bible commentators said this, there is more you can do after you pray, but there's nothing you can do until you pray. What are the great and mighty things God's going to do in your life today? What's the great and mighty things God's going to do in your lifetime? You know, every time Jesus forgives one of us, one of our sins, and one of us our sins and writes our name in the Lamb's Book of Life, that's a great and mighty thing. Whenever the Lord heals a broken body or a broken spirit, that is a great and mighty thing. Whenever the Lord restores a troubled marriage or relationship, that's a great and mighty thing. When there is forgiveness and cleansing for a sin, or when God gives the ability to quit something or get victory over something, alcohol, drugs, fornication, adultery, that is a great and mighty thing. Every time a believer is resolved under God's power and leadership to quit being a gossip, or stop using bad language, or slandering others, or stop losing their temper, that's a great and mighty thing. Every time a believer has the courage to turn to another brother or sister and say, look, I have wronged you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, that's a great and mighty thing. Every time the Holy Spirit speaks to one of his children and plants a seed in the heart to pray for someone or to go after someone with the gospel, that's a great and mighty thing. Every time a believer has compassion on someone else less fortunate and loves them, that is a great and mighty thing. Friend, we're going to pray. I trust you will pray today. Lord, I'm asking you to bless me. And I am asking for great and mighty things in my life. Not that I'll be exalted, but Lord, that your Son and the reality of salvation will be seen in my life. See, that's why the Lord does great and mighty things, to make us more like our Savior, to make us more Christ-like, to give us a light to shine in the darkness of this world that will point people to the Savior. My friend, this morning, God is waiting to do great and mighty things in your life. And all you need to do is call. All you need to do is call. And if there's anything you do this day, get you down on your knees and you pray, Lord, show me great and mighty things. Lord, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow. Ceaseless praise.